The second collection for the propagation of faith was mentioned. Now, as great sense should come to us as we listen to this current synod in Rome that talks about the Amazon area and how some of those areas of the Amazon see Eucharist once or twice a year because there are no priests to serve them. At one time early in our history, there were many people from Mexico who had moved up into Colorado, and they actually continued as communities for a couple of years before any priest was sent to them. We know what it's like to not have Eucharist present and how it's necessary. And so for us to look after those elsewhere in the world who have no possibility is a wonder. And if they have to give us finally some sense of married priests, good. The Eastern Church has had them throughout, and here there were married priests, except that the Irish priests who were around said, we don't want these Eastern Europeans coming and bringing children with them. Don't want priests to be being called father by some children. And so they got it stopped. But luckily, the Eastern Rites have begun ordaining married men again in this country and in Canada. They finally said to Rome, look, it's our tradition. And Rome said, there's no way we can stop it. Thank you, Rome. Finally awakened to a need. So the need is there to celebrate Eucharist. And any of us who are older should recognize that Fulton Sheen, at one point, was the guy who ran the propagation of the faith, along with his writing on a board and his angel to erase it between halves of the program. Our scripture today, we're going to use primarily the gospel. And we oftentimes would listen to this gospel and to this parable and think, oh, it just calls us to pray. No, it doesn't. The praying ceaselessly is there, and then he does the parable. And a parable talks about someone suffering injustice. Injustice of being a woman who has no one to look after her and no judge will take her case. Why? Because she doesn't have any money to pay a bribe to get it heard. And he just says, I don't respect her or anyone else. Well, as we listen to some of the writers, like Diane Bergant, who's a theologian in Chicago at the Theological Union, or there's a William Hersig, who's a Presbyterian and a professor at Colgate University in New York, they say, this is not about simply praying. It's about how do we take this parable and put it to use in our lives. And so in this gospel, what do we see? This feisty woman, and it's a good term, very good term for women who stand up for their own rights, because she had no one to stand up for her. Whether she had a son who would look after her or not, nothing is said. Whether she had any other relatives who just didn't pay attention to her, nothing is said. But she knew, if I don't say something and go after it, I won't get my rights heard and understood. So she went after this judge constantly in the public forum. And he finally says, and it really doesn't say she'll hit him. He says in the scriptures, it says, give me a black eye. Well, the black eye was really that he had not done his job for the people. And so he was being harassed to do a good job. I think it's just a wonderful sense of how you have to sometimes stay on top of things and understand they don't happen if you don't look at it. Now, there's some sense that Luke really put this in there and that Jesus would have done it to urge his people who were constantly what? Under the Romans and trying to be not under the Romans, like, go do something about it. Go wake up and pay attention so that what you see if you're not doing anything gets to be your own problem. So how do we translate this to our day? Well, Frederick Douglass, the abolitionist, said, If you don't make any effort, nothing will change. Nothing changes unless somebody is willing to step out and step up to the problems. And oftentimes, there weren't. And so he, needless to say, he stepped out, he escaped from being a slave, and he went to work for what? For his own people, and for us to have a sense of how you grow in who we're called to be. So Frederick Douglass is a good example for us. There are other examples that come up today. You know, this past week you saw in the news what? The city with the worst record of hunger among children is what? Oh yeah, Cleveland. If people don't step up, this is only going to get worse. Right now, the government's saying, well, we're going to cut another million kids from food. Wait a minute. Somebody has to step up and say, enough? We can't be last. Somehow we have to understand and take on feeding or making sure that money is spent feeding people, not doing other things. We recently saw Greta, who went to the UN and said, you guys are stealing everything from us by not taking care of the climate. You're taking our future lives away by not being concerned about what happens to our Earth and us. That's pretty brave for a 16-year-old. And it's a good thing we have people like that. Because if we didn't, we might just sit and say, okay, well, it went away. You know, and I worked as a chemist in industry, and I know what some of the stuff was that went out the stack or in the rivers or pollution. And I'm sad to say that it's going to be with us for a long time. But if we don't work at it, it's our fault. Listen to Jesus. Go do. Listen to Frederick Douglass. Raise a ruckus. Do something that people see and hear. And we have many other examples in our daily life of things that need people to step up to. Listen to the gospel. Listen, pray, and act. That's something we've heard from many sources in our lives. Do it, or it will all go away, and not very pleasantly. Now there's a story, I'm sure it's true considering where I picked it up, of Mother Teresa coming into New York to raise money, and she would do that now and then. So she goes into this corporate office, and she's going to meet with the two leaders of whatever corporation it was, and they've decided beforehand, whatever she asks for, we're not giving her anything. So she made her plea, and they said, we're not going to give you anything. And so she said, let us pray. And she prayed that they might not be so hard of heart and that they might learn what it would take to look after the children she serves. Well, after that, they still said, not going to do it. So once again, she said, let us pray. And when she opened her eyes from praying again, she saw two men, red faces of being embarrassed, pulling out checkbooks to do what was so necessary, what was required of them to serve other people. She was one feisty little Albanian woman. I served in an Albanian church for now and then in Detroit, and they even, before she was ever close to, while she was still alive, they had one of their stained glass windows was Sister Teresa of Calcutta. They knew. They had their own problems, but they knew that she was out there working on their behalf and on ours too. So what do we do? First thing is, listen to the end of Timothy where he says, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether you want to do it or not, pay attention. Make sure that what's called out in these scriptures really does happen through us, that we learn and do. We don't come just to be patted on the head and told you're doing a good job, because sometimes we are and sometimes we're not. And as we look around, we have a long way to go. We come together today to listen and learn from the scriptures, to pray our Eucharistic prayer, and then what happens? Oh yes, I'll send you out. And you're sent out what? To carry that message, to carry that work. So listen and pray and go and do, convenient or inconvenient.